This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No more testimony on the Hill. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, April 24, thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Saying House Democrats are very partisan, President Trump is now opposed to current and former White House staffers providing testimony to congressional committees.
Arguments before the Supreme Court about the citizenship question appearing on the census. Hear what each side is saying.
A car plowed into a group of pedestrians in Sunnyvale, California last night, sending 8 people to the hospital. Police believe it was intentional.
And how to push back when you're tempted to do work while on vacation.
You have to have the discipline to just say no to doing that work while you're on vacation. One of the things that's really important about vacation time is to be present for the people in your life, to be present for your spouse, present for your children.
With summer vacations around the corner, Ivan Meisner, networking expert, has ideas on leaving work completely behind, including clever out-of-office email responses. President Trump says he doesn't want current and former White House aides providing testimony to congressional committees in the wake of the Mueller report. That was one of the takeaways from an interview he did with The Washington Post. More from this morning's Dave Duncan.
Intensifying a power struggle with House Democrats, Mr. Trump said that complying with the request was unnecessary after the White House cooperated with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe of Russian interference. His remarks come after the administration said it plans to fight a subpoena from the House Judiciary Committee to hear from former White House counsel Don McGahn, and a former White House official has been told to not comply with a similar request from the House Oversight Committee. Gordon.
Thanks, Dave. In his interview with the Post, Mr. Trump maintained that the White House counsel's office has not made a final decision about whether it will formally assert executive privilege and try to block congressional testimony. But he said he opposes cooperation with House Democrats, who he claimed are trying to score political points against him. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is once again urging caution about starting impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Yesterday, she said she believes the House needs to continue investigations into his conduct. Speaking at the Time 100 summit in New York, she said impeachment is one of the most divisive paths that we could go down in our country, adding, we're not there yet.
Instead of having the work of the Congress be consumed by impeachment, we have our committees. I have great confidence in our chairman. They're top-notch, and the committees and the staff, they'll do their jobs.
On a conference call with 177 Democratic members on Monday, Mrs. Pelosi and other Democratic leaders also said various investigations by House committees should be allowed to first run their course. Some Democrats in the House have called for Mr. Trump to be impeached based on information provided in the report by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, which did not reach a conclusion about whether the president obstructed justice. The Supreme Court seems divided on whether the Trump administration can add a citizenship question to the 2020 census form. The court's conservative majority yesterday indicated skepticism of legal challengers who say adding the question will depress the count and is unlawful. The U.S. Solicitor General, Noel Francisco, argued that the question was added to improve compliance with the Voting Rights Act, which requires information on the number and location of minorities eligible to vote. On the opposing side, New York State Attorney General Letitia James.
Adding that particular citizenship question could lead to the undercounting in communities across America, particularly in immigrant communities and Hispanic communities. It would mean that communities entitled to resources wouldn't get those resources.
A citizenship question hasn't been asked of the whole country since 1950, but the government has asked the question to a smaller sample of U.S. residents. The census, conducted every 10 years, is mandated by the Constitution and is used for things like reapportioning House seats among the states. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for joining us. When the history of the Trump administration is written, one moment in mid-2017 may be seen as decisive, a moment when a staff member saved the president from himself. More from Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. Jerry, how do you see it?
Well, in the Mueller report, there's a lot. First of all, more than 400 pages, but I think one of the more interesting passages involved the Mueller report's attempt to lay out the sequence of events that made them explore whether President Trump had committed obstruction of justice by trying to stop the Mueller investigation in the first place. And in that process, early on in that process, the president basically in mid-2017 called his White House counsel at the time, Don McGahn, and basically tells him to tell the Justice Department to fire Mueller because he's got a conflict of interest because he's had previous run-ins with Donald Trump, and his staff has been conflicted because they have tendencies toward the Democrats, the president thinks. And so he tells Don McGahn, you get Mueller fired, or at least that's what the Mueller report tells us. McGahn says, no, I'm not going to do that. And then later, the following year, about 6 months later, the story comes out that the president tries to get Don McGahn to fire Bob Mueller and end the investigation. And again, according to the Mueller report, at least, the president says to McGahn in an Oval Office meeting that he wants him to deny that publicly, to deny that he, the president, ever sought to have Mueller fired. And McGahn, again, refuses to do that. The point I make in the column is that those two things were crucial events because they probably stopped the president from committing what would have been more widely viewed as an obstruction of justice and maybe saved him from himself by doing that, even though it angered the president. And the further point I'm making in the piece is this is what White House aides who are smart and see the bigger picture sometimes have to do, which is say no to the leader of the free world when he's or she is about to do something that is a mistake, and that's a hard thing to do.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. He's written an interesting piece entitled Sometimes Aides Save a President from Himself. All right, you gave a little brief history, too, on where these aides have helped former presidents. Start with President Nixon.
Well, Nixon was probably the greatest, most prominent example of a president who's kind of sometimes impetuous, sometimes mercurial impulses needed to be reined in by aides. When sometimes they just needed to say, no, that's not a smart thing to do, or we're not going to do it. And interestingly, with Nixon, he was self-aware enough to know this about himself. Before he even took office, he wrote a memo to his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, and essentially said, you are hereby authorized to not do things I tell you to do from time to time. He says, there may be times when you or others may determine that the action I have requested should not be taken. He says, I will accept such decisions, but I must know about them. In other words, if I order you to do something and you don't do it, I won't hold that against you, but you need to tell me. Yeah. And this came into play particularly during the Watergate crisis when Nixon became very depressed by accounts of most people who were close to him in the White House started to drink too much and would throw out orders for staff members to do things that clearly weren't wise, and they felt empowered to tell him no or just to not do them.
Finish up with whether or not you think that President Trump right now has enough pushback people in his inner circle.
That is a big question, and I think a lot of people around Washington think that's maybe not the case, and that, in fact, a lot of what you're seeing these days on many fronts is Trump being Trump and not being constrained nearly as much as he was in the first year and a half or 2 years by the staff people around him, and that is in part because Mr. McGahn has left, John Kelly his former chief of staff has left. Gary Cohn, who was his main economic advisor, has left. The staff secretary, Rob Porter, has left. H.R. McMaster has left as national security advisor. And maybe most prominently, Jim Mattis has left as defense secretary. And all of those people were seen as the kind of people who could go to the president and say, we think this is a bad idea, Mr. President. This would be a better course of action, and to challenge him. And there is a feeling that there aren't nearly so many people willing or able to challenge the president now, and that you're seeing some of the results in the way the president is responding to pressures and things that make him angry.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. It's 19 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the White House has refused to meet an extended deadline to deliver President Trump's tax returns to Congress. House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal says failure to comply with the April 23rd deadline would be interpreted as a denial of request. Trump says he does not want his information disclosed and will not release his tax returns while under audit. Democrats warn that legal action could follow. White House Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley spoke with Fox.
Look, as I understand it, the president's pretty clear. Once he's out of audit, he'll think about doing it, but he is not inclined to do so at this time.
The IRS has previously said Trump could release the returns even if they were under audit. An expert who has been working with the Boy Scouts has revealed that there may have been more than 7,800 allegedly sexually abusive troop leaders and volunteers in the storied organization and over 12,000 victims. The figures were released yesterday by attorney Jeff Anderson, whose firm represents victims of sexual abuse. He says the Boy Scouts have kept all of this information secret.
Those perversion files that they've had reflect that they have removed thousands of offenders of childhood sexual abuse over the years, and they've kept that in files secretly.
The numbers of alleged abusers was entered into the court record as part of a January trial about child sex abuse at a Minnesota children's theater company. Former Vice President Joe Biden will launch his long-anticipated presidential campaign tomorrow. Biden will announce his intentions in a video announcement and hold a fundraiser tomorrow evening in Philadelphia. His first formal campaign event is scheduled for Monday in Pittsburgh. After that, Biden is set to visit the early primary states, including South Carolina, where he enjoys strong support from longtime Democratic leaders, including House Majority Whip James Clyburn. Jennifer Garner is being singled out as the epitome of beauty in Hollywood. The actress has been named the cover person for this year's beautiful issue of People magazine. The magazine due out Friday profiles Garner's roles as an actress, businesswoman, and a mother of three.
Well, suddenly it feels very warm in here. My heart is racing.
Jennifer Garner?
She's a good one. Definitely a good one. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. You probably are aware that it's a good practice to periodically compare home and auto insurance prices to see if you could get a better deal on coverage. It's a move that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. In addition, one more call to your agent could help you save even further. Here's Kelly Grant, senior editor at Grow, who's offered a month-long finance makeover. Kelly, what do you have?
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with this makeover, and this piece was a follow-up. We did kind of a two-parter with insurance costs, and one of the big things to think about as you're making sure that you're getting the best value is to reshop your insurance. It's something that consumers don't often do, and they can save a couple hundred dollars a year usually just by, you know, making a few phone calls or talking to an independent agent, making sure that you've got the best policies. And once you do that, then you want to make sure that you're asking two more questions that can also help you save on insurance. The big one is, what happens if I increase my deductible? We know from data that's out there, on a home insurance premium, you're maybe saving 5 to 10% by increasing your deductible. On auto insurance, it's even bigger savings, somewhere from 15 to 30%.
Wow. There was one guy in your story you talked to who called about upping his deductible. I think it was on his car insurance. And it would have saved him like just $26 a year. And he thought, what is the purpose of that? Then if something happens to my car, I got to cough up an extra, I think his deductible would have went from $250 to $500. He's like, what's the point of that?
Exactly. And that's, you know, there are two big factors at play here. The first is, you know, there's a reason that those are a range of savings, because generally if you're already getting great rates because you're a good driver, okay, you've been, you know, doing this for years, you've proven yourself to be a safe person, you know, a low risk for the company, you're probably already getting a great rate. So raising your deductible might not save you a ton of money. But the other bigger thing to consider here is, of course, by raising your deductible, you're taking on extra risk, because the deductible is the part that you're responsible for that before the insurance kicks in. So it might mean you don't even file a claim if you've got, you know, some sort of a small fender bender, or it might just mean, you know, you have to shell that out if there's a big claim against your home or your car. You know, that's, you know, $500, $1,000, or more in some cases, that you have to come up with. And we know that a lot of consumers, they have a hard time even putting their hands on $400 this year. So you have to really crunch those numbers and make sure that you're comfortable taking that risk.
This requires a little bit of discipline, right? You got to carve out some time to do it.
It's actually, it should be a pretty quick phone call if you've got an insurance agent that you've been working with, you know, to be able to say, hey, I've got, you know, my deductible is currently $250. What happens if I want to increase that to $500? What happens if I want to increase that to $1,000 or more? And they'll be able to tell you really what that number should look like. You also want to keep in mind that sometimes it's not really feasible to raise it. Even if you feel like you could cover, say, a $1,000 deductible, there could be some restrictions for, you know, your homeowner's insurance. You know, say you live in a condo or a co-op, you know, they may have certain requirements for that. If you lease a car, there could be certain things you've signed with the financing agreement that might mean you can't take on a really high deductible.
Speaking with Kelly Grant, senior editor at Grow, she's put together an interesting piece called Make One Call, Ask Two Questions, and You Could Save Up to 30% on Insurance. How about the payment schedule itself for these things?
Yep. So that's the second question you want to ask about. And this is, you know, when you're paying your premium, you know, usually you're setting a particular schedule with the insurance company that you'll pay, you know, whether it's every month, every quarter, every 6 months, in some cases, just one lump sum payment a year. And depending on your finances, if you can afford to make fewer payments, so you're handing over, say, 3 months worth of premium at a time, or 6 months worth, or even that, you know, one lump sum year's worth of payment, you can often save a little bit of extra money. It's not going to be a ton, so maybe there's an opportunity cost there for you that's really a stretch, that it's not worth it. But if you're looking at something like, say, you just got your tax refund, you have this lump sum of money, you could theoretically, you know, be shifting your payment, saving a little bit of money, and then you don't have to worry about covering that insurance bill for the rest of the year.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, senior editor at Grow. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You know what feels great? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. It's so fast, you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. Give yourself further peace of mind with those monthly bills by eliminating debt on those insanely high credit cards by turning to LightStream. Subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. That's lightstream.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump doesn't want staffers testifying on Capitol Hill, saying House Democrats are too partisan. Border Patrol found a 3-year-old migrant alone in a cornfield, believed to be abandoned by adults who ran away when they heard agents approaching. Jeopardy winner James Holzhauer has now crossed $1 million in earnings, fastest to do it. Sharks rally from 3 goals down in the third to beat the Knights on a Game 7 overtime goal. And how critics of scooters are raging. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that help keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. More young people, especially those who identify as Democrats, say they plan to vote in the 2020 presidential caucuses and primaries than did 4 years ago, according to a Harvard University Institute of Politics poll. Here to break it down is Amar Madhani, national political correspondent at USA Today. Amar, what's trending?
It's sort of a continuation of what we saw at the midterms. Young voters, that 18 to 29 demographic, are saying at this point at least that they're more interested in the upcoming 2020 elections than they were at the same time 4 years ago. Pretty significant, though the jolt upwards is notable for Democrats. It's slightly down for young Republican voters, but we're looking at about 43% of young voters overall surveyed that say that they want to take part in the caucuses and primaries in early 2020, and that compares to about 36% at the same time 4 years ago.
Interesting. And did they give a reason why, or was it just kind of like the one or two question survey?
Well, it was. It got into several questions on issues that young voters might be interested in, but I think there's an anxiety motivated largely by that.
What I thought was also of note was that it seemed that environmental issues or environmental-related issues were at the top, not so much, hey, get rid of my college debt, for example, or get me some free college.
Right, which is something that Elizabeth Warren talked about yesterday on announcing her plan to sweep away student loan debt for about 75% of Americans. But near the top of the list is the environment. And these young voters, they see this as a foreign policy issue that, you know, it next to, you know, terrorism and human rights, that they see participating and protecting the environment as being one of the most important goals of U.S. foreign policy.
We're speaking with Amar Madhani, national political correspondent at USA Today, and he's written a piece entitled "More Young People Likely to Vote in 2020 than 2016. This is according to a new poll from Harvard University. You know, I thought it's worth asking, too. They want to vote in 2020. Does that necessarily mean they will vote in 2020?
No, it's always more people saying they want to vote and that they intend to vote than actually show up. Right now, we have 43% saying they plan to take part in the primaries and caucuses, but it'll inevitably be much lower. Similarly, you know, it was quote unquote historic the midterm elections when we saw just 31% roughly of young voters show up, and that was a 25-year high. So it could very well, much like the midterms, end up being a higher portion of the electorate being young. But at the end of the day, it'll remain awfully low for the overall number of young voters. And older voters will inevitably remain the larger part of the overall electorate.
Eventually, this Generation Z will have some pretty good sway, right, when they step into these polling places. What'd you say, 1 in 10 voters at some point?
Yeah, right as of January or February when the Iowa caucuses start, 1 in 10 of the electorate will be between 18 and 23.
And with regards to primaries and caucuses, how might that voter enthusiasm match up against general election? Or is it a good sign, say, that the numbers are improving for a primary because you're more likely to vote in a general? I don't know that that's the case.
You're right. Well, I think it's a good signal. If we get good turnout of voters in general, but particularly of young voters in the primary, the expectation is that it'll be even higher for the general election because a good segment of our society, young, middle-aged, and old, just don't identify with the political parties and don't necessarily want to have a part in that. In choosing the party's candidates to face off in the general election.
Thanks, Amar. Amar Madhani, national political correspondent at USA Today. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. It's nearly vacation season, but in this always-on workplace culture, most people will be answering emails from the beach. In fact, a study by LinkedIn found that nearly 70% of employees work while on vacation. What is wrong with us? We're joined now by Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder of BNI.com, the world's largest networking organization, and co-author of a new book called Who's in Your Room? The Secret to Creating Your Best Life. Ivan, this can't be a good practice.
It's definitely not good. And one of the things we talk about in the book is the difference between balance and harmony and how to create harmony in your life. And you have to have the discipline to just say no to doing that work while you're on vacation. One of the things that's really important about vacation time is to be present for the people in your life, to be present for your spouse, present for your children, if you have children. And you can't be present if you're working while you're on vacation.
What did we do before smartphones? Did we actually give our bosses back in the 80s, like the hotel phone number of where we'd be staying just in case?
Yeah, well, look, you know what? I certainly did that, but it was for emergencies, and the boss would call on emergencies, and, you know, it wasn't an emergency as to where you left that file. And so today, because we're so digitally connected in the world, we tend not to have the discipline to say no. No's a one-word sentence. Now, you can't tell your boss no in one word, but you can lay the groundwork to people as to setting expectations. I'm going to be out of reach. I'm not going to be available. You know, what do you think you need to know before I leave? Those kinds of things. If you set the right expectations, you can do this. The other countries do it, by the way. North America is the worst on this. Other countries are pretty good at letting people go on vacation and people stay there.
I sense we're afraid. What are we afraid of?
I think we're afraid of losing our job, afraid of having somebody do a better job than us. We're afraid of not looking good to the boss, not looking good to the clients. These are all important things. But you know what? You're kind of important too. And taking that time off is all part of creating a life of harmony.
Mm. Speaking with Dr. Ivan Meisner, he's co-author of a new book called Who's in Your Room? The Secret to Creating Your Best Life. He's also founder of BNI.com. the world's largest networking organization. We're talking about avoiding work on vacation. You mentioned, too, if you do a good job of sort of communicating things to colleagues, they can cover your back. You can cover theirs when they're away.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You want to talk to a colleague, a peer generally, where you have an arrangement where when they're on vacation, you might say in your auto reply, I'm on vacation, I won't be back for a week, I'm not going to be able to get back to you, but Gordon can respond to you for me. Or you could say Ivan could respond to you for me if the matter's urgent, here's his email. And that's a technique that works very well. Look, the boss just wants the job done.
Yeah.
And if you can get the job done by having someone back you up, boss is going to be fine with that.
Right. Why is it that perhaps bosses don't communicate this better to an employee? Hey, I understand you're going away. We don't want to hear from you. You know, be with your family and decompress.
I don't think a lot of bosses are maybe as self-actualized as they should be.
Okay.
And they're just looking at, you know, the bottom line this week, this month. And they're not realizing that when you have employees that are refreshed and come back to work, ready to work, you're going to get higher productivity from them. I don't think they're thinking ahead far enough, and that's a problem. And those who do, those who get it, tell their employees don't call, don't respond to emails, and then they get somebody who comes back, and they like working there because they understand the boss has their back also,
yeah,
and wants to take care of them.
What about those auto replies? Are they?
I love auto replies, and people sometimes, you know, hate seeing them, but I've always had fun with auto replies, so I take time off writing. And here's an auto reply. Here's an example of the kind of auto replies that I use. I've been whisked away by big, angry-looking men in suits and taken to a small room with one light and a little water and a laptop. I've been told to write. I think these men are from my publisher. I'm hoping to be released on Thursday so I can start responding to emails again.
Nice.
Gordon, I get more emails from people saying, oh my God, that was so funny. And and then they leave me alone.
Good conversation piece. Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder of BNI.com. Again, the book is called Who's in Your Room? The Secret to Creating Your Best Life. It's 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Have you heard about the revolution in online furniture shopping and Joybird, the company behind it all? Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings and that you should always have the freedom to be boldly original. From idea to reality, they empower you to create the space and furniture that brings you joy. With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options, from mid-century modern to contemporary classics, customizable in an amazing array of fabric choices, from rich buttery leather and plush velvets to every color imaginable. Quality, handcrafted furniture. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision, using high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. Limited lifetime warranty included. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Go to joybird.com/Gordon and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Gordon. Thanks for being with us. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump says he's opposed to current and former White House aides providing testimony to congressional panels in the wake of the special counsel report, intensifying a power struggle between his administration and House Democrats. Trump told the Washington Post that complying with congressional requests is unnecessary after the White House cooperated with special counsel Robert Mueller's probe. The administration plans to fight a subpoena for former White House counsel Don McGahn by asserting executive privilege over his testimony, and the Treasury Department yesterday defied a second demand from House Democrats to turn over Trump's tax returns. The Supreme Court appears divided on whether the Trump administration can add a citizenship question to the 2020 census form, with the court's conservative majority voicing skepticism of legal challengers who say adding the question will depress the count and is unlawful. New York State Attorney General Letitia James is among those who have sued to keep the question off the census.
There is more at issue than just surveys and statistics, because the census is more about just an accurate count. It's about how our government is organized and how our power is equally divided. It's also about the equal distribution of funds.
The census is used to reapportion House seats among the states based on their population. A driver in California sped through an intersection and plowed into a group of pedestrians last night in Sunnyvale, injuring at least 8 people. Sunnyvale Public Safety spokesman Jim Choi says it appears the act was intentional.
We do have witness statements that show that the vehicle did not attempt to slow down or brake, and that the scene itself doesn't show any kind of evidence of braking.
The driver was taken into custody at the scene. Multiple ambulances were called to the scene to assist with the injured, but the exact nature of injuries is unclear. When it comes to making commercial deliveries by drone, it's a big step forward. An affiliate of Google, Wing Aviation, has received federal approval to make commercial deliveries by drone. The approval marks the first time a company has received a federal air carrier certification for drone deliveries. The FAA approval means Wing can operate commercial drone flights in rural Virginia.
Wow. Wow. And you know, right now we've, I think, largely become accustomed to next day delivery.
Yes.
Right. Then we're moving towards same day delivery. Pretty soon it's going to be same hour delivery. Right. We can have it to you in 5 minutes. Man. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Among the many problems with electric scooters is that they could cannibalize the very ride hailing market they're meant to expand. Many urban areas are now swimming in them. Venture backed companies like Bird and Lime are among the best known. Though ride-hailing giants Uber and Lyft have gotten in on the action, relative to car hailing, scooters are inexpensive. Most cost $1 to unlock, then 15 cents a minute, but they're also controversial. The Wall Street Journal says an Instagram account called Bird Graveyard proudly chronicles abuse of those using scooters. There are also pictures on blogs of offending scooters broken into pieces or draped over trash cans. Some posts show scooters submerged in San Francisco Bay. In Santa Barbara, college kids are burying scooters in beach sand so that potential users can't find them. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.